Today's scripture reading comes from John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Thank you, Ellen.
Would you pray with me?
God, nowhere in your word does it tell us that we're supposed to be Christian. Rather, your word tells us again and again that we are supposed to be disciples of your Son. As the word is preached, as your Holy Spirit speaks to each and every heart here, help us to be good students, teachable, coachable, that we might leave this place just a little bit more transformed in the image of your Son. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. I'm the senior pastor of the Hastings United Methodist Church. I'm glad that we can worship together. A while back, somebody asked if we could have a sermon series about dogs, and so that was like a long time ago because it took a long time to figure out how we're going to have a sermon series about dogs. So we've come up with this sermon series through Church of the Resurrection on the Gospel according to dogs. The idea being that dogs are part of God's creation, and that reflected in them and their behavior, we can learn spiritual truths from our scriptures. Such as, think about when you go home, what it would be like if you walked into the house and nobody was there. No one was there to greet you. Or people were there, but people were so busy with other things, they didn't have time to greet you. At my house, that never happens. When I go home, this is what's waiting for me at the door. This is Daisy, this is our Springer Spaniel, and every single day, Daisy is at the door. She knows when that car drives up in the driveway, it's party time. She's always happy to see me. I don't know why. I know who I am, and I don't know why anybody would be happy to see me every single day, but she is. And we've all learned from Daisy that most important thing, since we haven't seen her for 4 or 5 hours, is to get her out to the yard as quickly as possible. So on the way out there, one of the things that my dog has is OCBD, obsessive compulsive ball disorder. And no matter where she is, in an empty lot, going through our garage, she has an incredible ability to find a tennis ball or a baseball or anything like that. And it's always a better trip when she has a ball in her mouth wherever she's going. That type of greeting reminds me of something that I've read in the Bible in the 21st chapter of Revelation, verses 1 through 5, where the Apostle John says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away. The sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne say, 'Look, God's dwelling is here with humankind. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain, for all the former things have passed away. Max Lucado, in his book, The Great Applause, talks about that time when we've placed our trust in Christ here on earth, and we transcend from this life to the next life. The greeting that we will receive, well, it'll be overwhelming. You'll walk into a city that knows no day or no night. You'll see faces of people that you knew before they died. They'll be there, along with many people that you don't know. But the most important person that you'll see in that crowd will be the one with nail-pierced hands who made a promise to you that when you place your faith and trust in him, he'll be waiting for you. He'll take you to the other side. And that greeting, well, I hope that every time you see your dog waiting for you at the door, excited to see you, you're reminded that in Christ, we have a day of celebration coming that will match no other. That's just one spiritual lesson. I can see the skeptical look on your face. I can tell that you're thinking, well, how much more can there be? Well, let me help you. One of the things that you have to do with your dog is teach them to listen for your voice. That's not something naturally that happens. They have to go through training, just like us. We don't naturally know how to listen and obey to God. It takes time. That's what discipleship training is all about, how to discern God's word and then make a decision to obey it, even if there's something else that we want to do. For us and our family, I sign my dog up at PetSmart and get the dog into pet training 101 as quickly as possible. Now, what really bothers me when I take my daughters and my dog up there for beginning pet training is when somebody, I don't know, for ego gratification or what, tries to slip in their dog, and their dog is already way beyond everybody else. I remember this one woman standing there, she had her fanny pack, and her dog was like a statue. It just sat there so still, just waiting for any command. And she'd open the fanny pack and throw the dog a little treat every once in a while. Just was so disciplined. My dog, on the other hand, was on a cheat, bulging her eyes out, trying to get to the other dogs that were in the pen. And I thought, this is not fair. Take your dog to PhD dog training, because that's where it belongs. This is for all the beginners here right now. Sit, stay, come. That's what we're trying to deal with right now. Not calculus for dogs. It takes time for a dog. But eventually, Daisy had learned how to listen. So that we, when our kids were little, we would take our kids down to Yogi Bear Campground in Tomah, Wisconsin for some real wilderness camping experiences down there. They would have this little bark park area. And in the midst of that chaos, with adults and children's voice yelling, shouting, and all the dogs running around, it got to the point where I could say, Daisy, come. And almost all the time, she would listen and come over. I mean, it depended if something really good was going on. Then we'd get into the selective hearing thing. But even that is kind of like us, right? In John, the 10th chapter, it talks about heeding the voice of our master. Beginning in the third verse, the guard at the gate opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen for the voice. This is the passage that Ellen just read to you. He calls out his own sheep by name, leads them out. Whenever he has gathered all of his sheep, he goes before them and they follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. And we're not talking about sheep, we're talking about us. And at a certain point, we can learn how to discern the voice of God in our own life. And then we have the same choice that our pets have. For my dog, the distraction might be a 2-year-old squirrel carcass that she's found out in the empty lot, which just gives me the heebs right now even thinking about it. But that might be the thing that makes her think, I don't know if I want to listen or not. Even that bad behavior is something that we can relate to in Scripture. It says in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verse 15, today if you hear God's voice, don't have a stubborn heart as they did in the rebellion. Well, we can do the same thing that our pets do. When I was a kid, we had a little dog. It's a poodle mix. His name is Toby. Smart little dog, good dog, well-trained dog, would listen most of the time. However, he did have a girlfriend down on Buckby Road. And every once in a while, Toby just wanted to go down to Buckby Road. And I remember as a kid, we'd get up and we'd be eating our breakfast, and I'd see my dad let the dog out. And usually he'd go out and come right back in, but every once in a while, I remember this one winter day, he's kind of slowly inching his way closer to the edge of the yard over by a snowbank. And my dad said, Toby, come. And Toby's head kind of went, nope, and went right over the snowbank and was gone. Like, it's worth it. I'm going down to Buckby. The problem for Toby was we had relatives that lived down on Buckby, and they'd say, ah, your dog's down here again. And so we'd have to go down and get Toby and bring him back. What is it in your life that has become that type of temptation where even though you know what God wants you to do, sometimes we have selective hearing. Sometimes we can harden our heart. Dogs and their behavior and the decisions that they decide to obey or not obey can be just as, we can be just as frustrating for God on whether we choose to obey or not obey. And like the instructions that take place in the Bible, life goes a lot better when we listen. I mean, one of the hardest things to teach young people that are growing up within the Christian faith, when you get into the do's and don'ts of our faith, and this whole idea of sin, which sounds like such an old-fashioned term, is that God isn't the great big party pooper in the sky. In reality, what God's trying to do by showing us right and wrong is to help us to avoid danger. He's trying to help us because God loves us. See, one of the things about getting locked up in habitual sin, and there's a very graphic verse in Proverbs about that. This is 26, chapter 26, verse 11. Like a dog that returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats foolish mistakes. Now, if you've never seen that little bit of canine behavior, a dog returning to its vomit, count yourself extremely blessed. When a dog gets into that situation, it's like they are an addict. For that dog, that's like fresh baked chocolate chip cookies. And maybe they've gone on a diet and they've said, I'm never going to overeat again. But then they see it and it's just this one last time. And they're in. What is it in your life that has that kind of power that will even override the voice of God, where you'll become selective in your hearing, where you're just going to do it this one last time? Is it gossip? Is it judgmental thoughts? The list could go on and on. All of us as human beings, we have these vulnerabilities, and it's just as attractive as a dog going back to its vomit. That's quite a picture, isn't it? That's what it's like when we go back to our sin over and over when we know better. Like a dog going back to its own vomit. And God's trying to break us of that. Another thing that dogs teach us is about God is the way that they care for the others in the pack. Dogs are pack animals. And Daisy, our dog, is a real feeler. This is a two-way street. If Daisy knows that somebody in the household's having a bad day, it's a crazy thing. But when we sit down for supper at night, she'll inevitably lay on somebody's feet, and typically it's on the person that's having the worst day. How do they know that? And the other side of the coin is with dogs is they're not afraid to ask for a touch. They'll come up and they'll nudge you. They'll show you. It's right back here on my rear end right here. If you just scratch right there behind the ear or on my belly, that's even better. One of the things that touches me about Christ is how he related to the untouchable people of his society. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, there's this scene when Jesus comes down off the mountain. There's a large crowd there, and there's a man with a skin disease, leprosy. He was untouchable. No one could touch him. And that man kneeled before Jesus. He said, "Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean." And listen to what Jesus did. Jesus reached out his hand, and he touched him, saying, "I do want to become clean." If only we could be more like dogs this way. Dogs are completely unintimidated by disease, by our hurts and our pains. When they see that, they move toward us to comfort and to help. Have you ever seen these therapy dogs? They're amazing. How they'll go into a children's hospital and a burn unit, the type of situation that human beings recoil from when you see small children dealing with cancer, and they just move right to the situation. Or hospice care. Or different organizations that are providing pets for wounded warriors who are having that very difficult transition back into a civilian life without a limb or internal emotional damage that's come from battle, and they're finding that these pets help them make the transition. Or even prisoners. I mean, one of the odd things is that they found out that people that are very antisocial and have no people skills at all, and it's caused all sorts of trouble in their life, when they're around a pet that loves them unconditionally, it brings out a completely different side of their personality that often they don't even know exists because of the unconditional love that they experience through the dog. That's what happens when we're around God. When we spend time in God's people, God's pack, and we're touching and encouraging and helping and loving one another, it brings out a side of us that maybe we don't even know exists within us. And another thing that dogs do is they warn us about danger. Remember, I just talked to you about sin. Sin is danger. And when God is telling us about something that's dangerous, it's because he loves us. I think of my dog, and my dog is always on hyper alert. Do you have a dog? They're just so much more aware of what's happening around the yard than we are. Now, sometimes she overdoes it. There's times when she starts barking, I swear a cave bear is at the front door ready to beat it down. And I go and I look, and there's a young mom with a baby stroller going down the street. And they, "Come on, Daisy. You're overdoing it." But she's just trying to warn us about other people, other situations that are around us. Dogs are amazing how sensitive they are to danger, how aware. And they can use that behavior in medicine to warn of someone who's sick, maybe has diabetes or cancer, even before they're experiencing symptoms. They can use that in fighting terrorism. They're so much more aware of people that are nervous and anxious situations. Or even natural disasters. Often, dogs can tell you when a storm is coming or an earthquake is going to take place before we know. It's a fool that doesn't heed that type of warning when it's taking place. It says in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 21, I warn you, as I've already warned you, that those who do these kinds of things won't inherit God's kingdom. You won't experience the presence of God in your life when you're doing those things. And the motivation for God in all of this is because God loves you and me. God's not trying to be a drag. Jesus said he's trying to bring the abundant life into our life. We just have a lot of choices and we have a lot of dangerous things that we need to avoid. One of the most remarkable stories that I've read about this, remember that tsunami that took place in the Indian Ocean? It's the second largest earthquake that ever has been recorded, 9.1 on the Richter scale. Now, the issue wasn't the earthquake because that took place way out in the ocean. It was the tidal wave that was caused by the earthquake that killed 230,000 people. That wave would have gone from our floor up to the peak of our sanctuary. And when it came crashing in, it destroyed everything that was around it. And there was this story coming from a little fishing village in India. And there was a man and a woman, and he was a fisherman. They lived right down by the beach where they kept their boat. The woman cared for their three sons, a 3, 5, and 7-year-old. And the man remembered that day when he heard the strangest thing he'd ever heard in his house. It actually made him go outside to check. It was the sound of nothing. When you live in a fishing village, you hear the sound of the ocean. He said, I couldn't hear anything. I walked out, and all the water was gone. It had receded. And there were these fish flopping around, and people saw this as an opportunity and run out into the sand to grab these fish. But the man kept watching on the horizon, and he saw this gigantic wave start moving at this rapid speed toward the shore. And he yelled at his wife, he said, get the children and run. There was a hill behind the village. And so she grabbed the 3 and the 5-year-old who she could see, and she started running up the hill, and he was looking for their 7-year-old, and he couldn't find the 7-year-old. He kept looking and looking. He couldn't find the 7-year-old. And finally, he had to believe that the 7-year-old was already going up the hill, and so he began to run up the hill. The 7-year-old had done, in all the chaos, he had gotten scared. He went back in the safest place that he knew, the house. And he was hiding in the house. That house was about to be destroyed. Anybody that was down along that beach was going to die. But in the house with the 7-year-old boy was this family's nondescript yellow dog. The complete mutt lived off of the fish scraps. He's not dead there. He's taking a snooze. And the occasional rat that he killed in the house. And when he saw the boy going on, he followed the boy into the house. And the boy was so scared, he said, I was just hiding, but the dog would not leave me alone. The dog kept biting me and biting me and barking at me. It was grabbing my clothes and pulling and pulling. He said, I kept hitting the dog away, and the dog kept coming back and nipping me right behind on my heels. And finally, it just kind of, I finally got so mad, I got up, and I realized what was going on, and I ran up the hill. I followed the people up the hill with the dog, and the mom said, I've never cried so hard as when I saw my 7-year-old boy and that yellow dog alive. What are the things in your life that God just keeps on you about? It's so uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable that you want to avoid church, you want to avoid God talk, you want to avoid, because God is just like on you about this. If only we could recognize that God isn't doing that because God wants to hurt us. God's trying to save us. And the last parallel that I can see is that for those people to find salvation, they had to run to the top of a hill. And that dog, in trying to save that boy, was trying to get that boy out of that low place to a high place. And in the Christian faith, God is trying to do the exact same thing in every one of us. Take us from a low place of living, a low place of thinking, a low place of behaving. And no matter how uncomfortable the process is, God's trying to lead us to the top of a hill, and that hill is Calvary. For every single person, God is trying to get us to surrender and to listen and to move to the top of that hill and trust what's happening on that hill, even if we don't fully understand it, to just trust that God knows that we need this in order to find the abundant life here on earth and to find salvation for all eternity. There's a lot of lessons that we can learn about God from dogs. This is the most important one. Amen.